from Vision Australia Radio, it's time to open the cellar door and uncork a classic on Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Hello. I'm Michael Hintz, the velvety voice of Vino, with another Heard It Through the Grapevine on Vision Australia Radio and coming to you nationally through the Community Radio Network. And it's hello from my producer, Lloyd Shirley. Life's too short to drink bad wine. Today we're going to meet a driving force behind the emergence of Victoria's popular Alpine Valleys wine region, the effervescent, energetic, entrepreneurial Kel Boynton, who, when he's not fishing for trout, can be found tending his vines at the panoramic, productive Boynton's Feathertop Winery in Porepunkah. It was about the time when the popular Wynn's Oven Valley Burgundy reigned supreme, in the mid to late 1980s, that the enterprising Kel Boynton established Boynton's Feathertop at Porepunkah, and in so doing pioneered the viticultural and vinicultural benchmarks for the region. For 26 years, since 1989, Kel has been crafting quality wines from a stunning array of 21 different grape varieties. Kel is to the Alpine Valleys what Ross Brown of Brown Brothers is to Mooloowa in the King Valley, Colin Campbell is to Rutherglen, and Fred Pizzini is to the King Valley, in that he helped pioneer winemaking in the Alpine Valleys. He's helped mentor many a winemaker who has worked with him along the way at Boynton's, including the rising star, Joe Marsh. I think it's Joe Marsh, who's just started at Billy Button. Kel, welcome to Grapevine.
Yeah, thank you, Michael.
You're looking $1 million today.
You too, Michael.
Now, I believe on your maternal side of the family, the phrase is, this will be familiar to you, good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better best. That, does that resonate with you in some regard in your family history?
Yeah, I was brought up with that phrase, that little saying that was from my mother's side. She was a furphy, and her father owned the foundry for 30-odd years. So, yeah, the furphy's not the wowserism, but the striving for better things was well and truly drilled into me.
Yes, and that applies obviously to your wine too.
Yeah, well, we couldn't, on the furphy tank, you probably remember that it was in shorthand was that the grape and the grain, or the brandy and whiskey or something. Or
something like that.
It was the evil of all men and should drink more water. Well, Grandpa didn't agree with that, and I think he took it off one of his furphy water cart heads.
Right.
He loved his claret, as Mum said, and he would buy from Tobilk all those years ago, and he'd buy a 6 month supply at a time.
Cool. Gee, he must have been well off if he could afford 6 month supply at a time.
Well, you could only fit it on a little T-model Ford in those days.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Now, Kel, for those who may not know, where are Victoria's Alpine Valleys? Where's Porepunkah?
Right, a lot of people are familiar with Mount Buffalo.
Yep.
Bright, a lot of people know where Bright is.
Yes.
So basically it's the headwaters of the Ovens River.
Yes.
It's the Alpine Valleys, and you've got the Buffalo River.
Mm-hmm.
It does stretch across the little range between here, and it takes in Mount Beauty.
Yep.
So that's part of the Kiwa River.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that's the catchment area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the valleys. You've got Rose White Valley as well.
Yep. And it's a beautiful part of the world, isn't it?
Oh, it's the best in Australia.
Says he modestly, but you're probably right there.
I don't mind saying that.
Yep. Now, for planting vines, why Porepunkah? Is it a mix between different regions, is it, climatically?
Yeah, when I was studying winemaking at Roseworthy all those years ago, when Roseworthy was still at Roseworthy and not at Adelaide University.
Yep.
Whenever I had a spare moment, I was in the library just tracking the climate data for all the famous regions for grape growing in the world, and then tried to transpose that onto a climatic data in Australia, and this area kept coming up for somewhere between Bordeaux's and Burgundy's and Tuscany, Rioja. So I knew that climatically it could do well, and the soils are very deep here, so that was another bonus.
And you're a Roseworthy graduate. Now, what year did you graduate, and what other winemakers graduated that people may know in the same year as you did?
There was a bunch of scallywags in our year. We had a lot of fun. 82.
Yep.
Steve Weber, Gordon Gebby.
Oh, right.
Kevin McCarthy.
Oh, Kevin McCarthy. Just left Tagalart to go back with his wife.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
he is a scallywag, old Kevin, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, there was a few scallywags. Hugh and Hook was there.
Oh, yep. And Steve Weber. Now, Steve Weber's, of course, at DeBortley, yes.
Yeah, and Leanne DeBortley followed.
Right.
So, Andy Buller from Buller's Winery at Rutherglen.
Oh, yes, I saw Andy the other day. He's, yes.
And Dean DeBortley. Yep. Darren DeBortley, rather. He was there, played rugby with him.
Yeah, and you were also a rower of repute, I believe.
Rowing, yes. I love my rowing as much as I love my wine, but I haven't been rowing really seriously for 10 years now. But I did the Masters circuit, you know, the World Masters.
Yep.
Picked up a few few gongs. Probably the nicest trip I had was to Seville, because I could mix that with a bit of wine tasting down in Jerez.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
And saw some beautiful Pedro Ximenez is down there, which inspired me to make something similar when I got home.
Oh, that's lovely to have with sort of foie gras, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I've never done it with foie gras. But
I reckon it'd be worth trying. It's a hard food match, that. Now, you've got multiple house wines, aside from the stalwarts of Shiraz and Rieslings. Tell us about the more popular and emerging varietals you've got planted, Kelp.
Yeah, well, I'll do that in that order. The more popular ones that have been sort of trying to break into the mainstream are probably Sangiovese and Tempranillo.
Yes.
We know the Pinot Gris there now. It's the full-on mainstream wine.
Yep. And do you have the little indicator on the back of the Pinot Gris for the degree of sweetness or dryness, like they do on Rieslings?
No, we don't. Ours are all classed as dry.
Yep.
If it's ever at the sweeter end of dry, it's only 6 grams per litre. But
yeah,
most of ours are 4 to 5.
Yep.
Grams are just noticeable. It fills the mid palate a little bit.
Yep. Yep.
That's where we want to be, at the dry end.
Yep.
In the whites, the more popular ones are now Vermentino. That's coming on. Our new one, Friulano, from Friuli in Italy.
Now, what's that? I don't think I've had that. What's that? I know Fiano, but I don't know Friulano.
Yeah, Friulano was... I was introduced to that at a restaurant in Beechworth called when Rocco had it.
Oh, right.
And I said, give me something white that I've never had before, and he gave me a Friulano, and I was that impressed that I then tried to source some planting material and found that Kathleen Quealy and Kevin McCarthy had it in the ground at Mornington, and they'd sourced it from a grower in Mildura, of all places. And I was able to get some budwood from him.
Oh, right.
And it was an amazing wine.
What's its flavour profile, you know, for people who've never heard of it, and that'd be a lot of people.
It's sort of got the weight of a proper Pinot Gris, not a Grigio.
Yes.
But its flavour profile is quite varied. It's, a good one will have a slight bit of almond.
Oh, right.
I haven't seen in any other white wine, and that's what made me really interested in it.
Really? Not in even a Roussanne? You don't get any almond occasionally?
I'm not that... I've drunk Australian Roussanne, but I haven't had any imported ones.
And it's not too phenolic,
It's got great phenolics. And, we have a lot of discussions about that because we've only made 2 vintages so far.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't fine for those phenolics. We think it's perfectly in balance.
Mm.
And, you know, to make a wine more interesting with food, you need to have some phenolics if they're squeaky clean. Like,
yes, very true.
We tend to, you know, mainstream whites are very clean, find out. They're not that interesting with food. So,
yes, good point.
We're confident that we're on the right path.
Yep. Mm. Now, take us through this. Every week I review a wine of the week. So I'm going to get you to review. My wine of the week this week is a Boyton's Feathertop 2012 Prosecco, which, unlike most Prosecco, yours is bottle fermented and aged on lees to give it an extra complexity. Now, can you take us through this wine, Kel? What makes it different from other Proseccos?
I probably would have made the other Prosecco style if it hadn't been for a meeting and with Stefano De Pieri from Mildura, his brother, who lives in Treviso.
Yes.
And Bruce and Jenny Chalmers from Mildura and myself stayed with them. And I mentioned the fact that I love Prosecco. And he said, tomorrow I will show you real Prosecco.
Ah, yes.
So he did. He took us to an Enoteca and we stayed there for the day.
For the day?
Tasting Proseccos with this amazing man who just had a wealth of knowledge about Prosecco. And we tasted wines that have been on lees for 6 years, recently disgorged, some still on lees, which he was able to shake down enough to give us a taste.
Yep.
And I've realised that there was another dimension to an otherwise very clean, fruity, fun wine with bubbles in it.
Yep.
And so when I decided to go back to Australia, I planted it immediately, and I wanted to do the bottle fermenter style, method traditional,
yes,
French style, or in their case, Italian style.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a wine we don't see in Australia. They don't export it. They keep it to themselves. And
yes, there is a bit creeping. I saw some in a store the other day, which was ranging in the high 30s or about $40 a bottle.
Right.
I suspect. And locally, the only one I've had comparable, or I can remember, I think one of the Pizzinis, is it Chris Mott-Lazona make a bottle fermented one that I think they make one.
I think they've had one. Delzotto's had one. I think they're reintroducing it.
Yeah.
We had a bit of a Google the other week to find out how many bottle fermented Proseccos there were, and we found there was four.
Yeah, not many.
So not many. The rest are tank transfer, and they're light, they're fresh, they're a lot cheaper to make, way cheaper to make, and quite different. Mm. Really after yeast autolysis, which is after a bit more complexity.
Now, welcome back, Kel. Now, you're known as the winemaker that builds, and your lovely wife, Janelle, is the architect that drinks. Is that that's a pretty interesting partnership?
Yeah, it's a great partnership.
So as long as you keep making the wine, Janelle keeps on designing new spaces, and I believe you've just completed a 35-metre underground function space.
Yes, it is a function space. It's not a wine storage area. It's We have a big call for weddings, and it ties up our a la carte dining area when they want an afternoon luncheon or late evening.
And it's such an idyllic location. You've got some super accommodation up there, haven't you? From very smart two-bedroom apartment overlooking Mount, they call it the Mount Buffalo View apartment, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, and the Peggy Adelaide, named after my mother. There's two apartments, and you're right, they're beautifully appointed. It was a funny day because we built a beautiful house on the hill overlooking the vineyard and the valley, and Janelle said to me, "So we've got the plans, who's going to build it?" And I said, "Well, if I don't build it, it'll be the first house I've lived in that I haven't built, and I've lived in seven."
Yes.
And she said, "Well, Kel, you're not very good at finishing off." And I said, "Yeah, you're right. I do get frustrated with the little bits."
Yep.
And I said, "Best you build." house is amazing, and it goes through to those apartments. They are absolutely beautifully appointed, and I haven't got those skills. I'm a big project operator, not a little one. I'm not good on the finish, as she said.
Yep. Now, I believe you fell in love with winemaking while backpacking in Europe in the 70s. Did it have something to do with those pretty French girls in Alsace, I've heard?
How do you find out all this?
I have contacts everywhere, Kel.
Yeah, we were crossing between Brindisi and Igoumenitsa on the ferry, and there was more cars than the ferry could take, so basically the next 10 cars had to overnight in queue.
Yep.
And two cars in front of us was two pretty French girls.
Yes.
So as every good young Australian boy would do, he went over and asked them over for dinner, and we cooked up the meal. And at the end of that, they said, we would like to cook for you. So if you can find your way back to Alsace, we will host you. And we got talking a bit more. We sort of got to know them fairly well, and found out that they had friends with a vineyard, and so we all went and picked grapes. 2 years later, it was 75. I met them. 76 was a famous year.
Yep. Pretty hot year, wasn't it? 76.
Yeah, they were able to get their must weights up to Oslo's, which is 14%.
Yes.
We picked grapes during the day, and I was very, very interested in it. And I would then work at night with the ferments and pressing, and only to start again the next day. So yeah, I fell in love with not only the French girls, but the whole wine industry in general. And then,
now I believe you've got an enormous capacity for hard work. You're a bit of a Trojan in the vineyard, where you spend, if you're not in the vineyard, you're out fishing on Lake Eucombine or on
well, that's my reward.
The ovens for
yeah, that's my reward for hard work.
Now, physically, I've been told you can work for about 14 hours in the sun walking up and down through the vines.
Yeah,
is that so?
Yeah, but people think I'm 62, but really I'm only 40. I've just aged badly.
It's the sun, is it? Yes. Yeah. Now, I believe did you get your work ethic partly from, I believe your first job was contract fencing in the WA outback?
Yeah, that was the first business that I had, yes. But I grew up and hard work was just the norm. My mother never shirked it, and my father certainly didn't.
Mm-hmm.
The skills that I probably would have liked to have learned at an early age is more of the business skills, and Janelle's taught me that, my wife.
Yes, yes.
I'll leave that side to her now. Since our marriage, the winery, our business has blossomed. When you're out, if you're out 14 hours in a day, you're not running your business.
Yeah.
And I needed that, and because... she was very good at that, and she's also an architect. She's a keeper.
Right. Now, I believe as a child, you trapped rabbits and spent money on cigarettes at the early age of just 10.
Yeah, it might have even been a bit before that too, but I was never home as a kid.
Yep.
I was always out making a bit of money for myself. When the rabbits weren't running, usually the fish were, so I'd be catching fish and selling that door-to-door.
So suffice to say that you weren't mollycoddle like some kids are today. You were,
big difference, Michael, isn't it?
Is it ever?
See it here when our friends bring their children up, and they're fairly liberal as parents, and their children sort of cower for a day or so, and then they start to get used to, it's okay to get dirty, it's okay to, fall over and cut yourself in the bush.
Yep, develop your immune system, And I believe you do all the cooking.
Yeah, in the house, I'm the house dad, yeah.
Yeah, your house dad, and you. What's your favourite dish? Are you fairly eclectic with your cooking?
I am. I don't really have a favourite dish. It's, it's what's available and what's in season.
Yep.
I don't have a favourite dish. As long as it's a a good dish, you've got to have good ingredients to make good food. The same with wines. Mm. You've got to have good grapes to make good wine.
Now, the Alpine Valleys are a bit of a hidden treasure. Some claim you don't have the critical mass of wineries, but the fun to me about your region is not only the geography and the beautiful mountains and the rivers and the idyllic setting, but you can explore there and discover wineries, you know, in nooks and crannies. And you've sort of work a bit to eke out these wineries. It's not all served to you on a plate like some regions. Is that part of the attraction of the Alpine Valleys, you think?
It probably is at the moment, but, you know, it's not... It is too hidden. It's not well-known enough.
Yep.
When I first opened, I was interviewed by Prime Television, and they asked me, what would I like to see in the valley? And I said another... And this is back in 89, I think.
Yep.
I said another 10 wineries.
Yep.
I said, well, wouldn't that be competitive? And I said, I'll bring it on, because
yep.
then would be wine buying destination.
Yep.
We have, I think, 12 wineries now, but, about 8 of them a bit hard to find.
Yep.
But, you know, in time, it'll happen.
Yeah, but you value a thing that's hard to find. You know, in
they
a
are
sense,
treasures. There's
yeah.
some very, 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 very smart.
You've
wine.
Got it. Yes, very smart. Now, on a more personal front, mm-hmm. if you could invite four of the most interesting people of your choice and cook for them, living or dead, to the perfect dinner party, who would they be?
Oh, I'd have to ask my mother back.
yeah, that's one.
And I'd have to give that a lot of thought because I don't. Mum comes to mind. Conversation would be very important.
Anyone from the wine industry?
Maybe John Brown Senior.
John Brown Senior.
Yeah. I only ever had one luncheon with him, and I was.
Yep.
I was amazed that we spoke on the same wavelength all
yep.
afternoon about viticulture and
yep.
and wines. Yes. John, probably either Ewan Hook or James Halliday, because both of them enjoy fishing. So
yes, oh, that's true. That's
about
true.
Wine and fish.
Yes, that's
and,
true.
And a guy that doesn't really like wine, but he's an amazing fellow.
Who's that?
He married a cousin of mine, and he's not a well-known guy.
Right.
He's a brilliant electronic engineer.
Oh, right.
Very modest, very humble.
Well, there's your four. Well, there's
yeah,
your five.
Right. And, you know, they'll be four because I can learn a lot from every one of them.
Mm-hmm. So where do you think, getting back to the industry, where's Australian wine at today in regard to our changing collective palate?
Still in infancy, but what's happened in the last 20 years is an amazing infusion of flavours in our food
yep.
profiles, and
yep.
Wine's lagging behind by, it is my thoughts, by probably 10 years.
Yeah, do you think the wine industry has taken advantage of the food programs like My Kitchen Rules and MasterChef in promoting wine more in connection with the food?
Probably not. Not as much as they could have. I've never thought about that, but certainly the new cuisine that Australians developing, which they just loosely term Australian or New Australian, it calls for a way bigger range of wine styles than just Shirazes. And
that's why the Mediterranean wines are becoming increasingly popular. Do you think?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely, and the. You know, I've been married twice, so my 30-year-old's, well-versed in food styles, and they are out there looking for alternative varieties, and my children, Janelle, are 11 and 9,
yep.
and they're growing up with them, so... You know, Montepulciano, we're planting, very, very soon, like within weeks.
Yes.
Verdejo,
yeah,
I think there's only one commercial wine in Australia. That's we're planning that.
Which one? Yes.
And it should get yourself a bottle.
Of the Verdejo.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not Fidelho, but Fidel.
No. I know that.
That's Tony Murphy at Trentham Estate has got a brilliant one.
Yes, I've heard that. There's a move away from the heavier reds, and younger people don't seem to cellar wines like people of my generation did. They've all these wine cabinets now, the Liebherr and the other wine cabinets, and they sort of the whole attitude to wine has changed, hasn't it, in that respect?
I think it's an attitude to life. Everybody's just in too much of a hurry now. The computers and IT that we've got make you accessible all day. You try and get more done. You're in a hurry all the time. You grab a bottle on the way home.
Yeah. Do you find when people come up to stay at your place, it takes them about half a day or time to just unwind and take in the nature and take in the ambience of where they are and start to relax, chill out?
Not half a day, but it gives us, that's where we get our biggest pleasure from, is seeing people sit down in the shade in our alfresco dining and have a glass of wine, and they're sitting, you know, very, very tense. They've probably, you know, had a long drive or maybe a domestic in the car, or the kids are giving them grief, and and they have, you know, it's a beautiful ambience looking out over the valley and the mountains, and with a glass of wine they start to relax, and within no time their feet are out in front of them, they're leaning back in their chair, and you think, you know, we've provided an opportunity for that to happen, and we get a lot of satisfaction out of that, a lot of satisfaction.
Well, Kel, time is almost up. Thank you very much for talking with us today. And it is you make some great wines. It's a lovely, lovely part of the world. And the food to go with it there is also excellent. So you've really got the complete package. Thank you for your time today.
Michael, pleasure talking to you. I would like to say that I think younger Australians will start to age wine again.
Oh, yes.
They will discover what it's like to drink a 10-year-old red, and then they'll start aging.
Good. Good.
Screw cap,
I'm all for that.
Yeah, a screw cap is just every bit as good as a great cork. Only they're all uniform.
Okay. Thank you, Kel. Great to talk to you today.
Well, thanks for the call.
A pleasure.
Thanks very much for the call.
Okay.
Okay.
My research material was sourced from my home library, winebiz.com, and the Sydney Morning Herald. This has been another Heard It Through the Grapevine on Vision Australia Radio. Heard on all stations around Australia via the Community Radio Network. It's cheers from me, Michael Hintz, and please drink moderately.
Heard It Through the Grapevine is a production of Vision Australia Radio. Sound information.